I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. As a youngster and as an adult, I always thought that was a fantastic story. When I loved fishing, I was brought up in Northern Ontario. My father and uncle had a fishing lodge, and that's where I grew up. But I didn't manage to walk in the water. I fell in a few times, but it ended there. But I guess, you know, living in BC on the West Coast, we're used to walking on water. I mean, not very much, maybe just a couple of millimeters. But this story appears to be about walking on water. But I want to start with a little funny story that I'm sure all of you have heard before. So don't interrupt me, please. I have to tell this story. It's about three clergy, Anglican clergy, who are going fishing. A bishop, an archdeacon, and a young curate. And so they are going out in this little lake in a boat, and they get out to the place where they're going to fish. And no sooner started fishing than the bishop said, "Oh, darn, I forgot my pipe." So the bishop gets out, walks over the water to the shore. The archdeacon doesn't faze him. The young curate, his mouth drops open. The bishop comes back, and then the archdeacon says, "Oh, I forgot my coffee mug." So out the archdeacon gets and walks across, gets his mug, comes back, and the curate is just beside himself. He knows that with the bishop and the archdeacon there, he must prove himself. And so he says, "My lord, archdeacon, I fear I left one of my best pieces of tackle on shore, and I must go and get it." "Fine." So out he goes, boom, straight down. And the bishop turns to the archdeacon and says, "Archdeacon, do you think we should have told him where the stones are?" Well, the poor curate thought this was a matter of faith. It was not. It was a belief or knowledge based on fact. The bishop and the archdeacon knew where the stones were from prior knowledge and personal experience. But because faith and belief do have similarities, we often get the two confused. But there is a difference between faith and belief. In Paul's letter to Hebrews, he writes, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." We believe something because we are presented with facts that lead to logical conclusion. There is evidence which satisfies our conscious mind. Faith is not based on fact. It is not subject to sight or sound. It is not a substance to be measured. It cannot be captured or contained. As St. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, "We live by faith, not by sight." What the disciples witnessed on that early windy morning on the Sea of Galilee was not part of their logical experience. They didn't see this every day. Walking on water is just not a normal human activity. Neither is commanding wind and water. When Jesus entered the boat, the wind ceased and the waves calmed, just as they had when Jesus woke from sleep in the account of the storm in chapter 8 of the same gospel. And the disciples were afraid the boat would capsize. In both cases, it was faith that was questioned. And in both cases, it was fear that hindered faith. Fear of drowning in the storm in chapter 8, and fear of the unknown, the apparition of what was beyond their understanding, as said in today's gospel. When Jesus identifies himself, Peter challenges him. He challenges him to prove his identity by calling Peter into the water. If you are really Jesus and not an apparition, prove it by allowing me to walk out to you on the water, Peter says. Does that sound familiar? If you are the Christ, command these stones to be turned into bread. Throw yourself from the pinnacle of the temple and let the angels save you, because it's written, they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Bow to me, and I will give you the world. Challenge of Satan. The fallen angel of light was rebuffed, as we know. But Peter was called, and it was Peter's faith that faltered. Can you imagine that scene as Peter gingerly places his foot over the side? I mean, we've all been in boats and canoes, right? So we know what it's like to step out even close to land. I mean, the Prime Minister upset his kayak. This is not an easy step to take. So can you imagine being there? Places his foot over the side, his heart pounding in his chest, perhaps wishing he'd not been quite so hasty, but not able to back down in the face of his colleagues. Eyes fastened on Christ, he takes his first step, then another. Perhaps looking back at the disciples or thinking, take that, you lesser disciples. See what I'm doing. But he takes his gaze away from Christ. He beholds the chaos around him. And he begins to sink as fear overcomes faith. Oh, you of little faith, Jesus says. Jesus often speaks about the power of faith, and he's quick to recognize faith in others. You remember the woman with the issue of blood, who knew that if she merely touched his garment, she would be cured. The centurion, who knew Jesus only had to speak the word, and his daughter would live. The friends of the paralyzed man, who persisted until they found a way to reach Jesus so he could walk again. And what did Jesus say to every single one of them? He said to them all, your faith has made you whole. If you have faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, remove yourself to the sea, and it would be so. Jesus says in Matthew 21. In the story in chapter 8, Jesus is already in the boat, you remember, and the storm arises while he's sleeping. In chapter 14, he sends the boat out before he leaves, and he says, go ahead, I'll join you later. Did they presume he was going to take another boat? I guess so. They wouldn't dream they'd walk out to them. In both cases, though, the boat is going somewhere. It is going towards something. It is going to the other side. And perhaps the boat is like the ecclesia, the body of the faithful, which is sailing to the other side. We seek the safety of this boat, and we are afraid when chaos threatens to overwhelm us. And when Christ comes, striding over the chaos, do we challenge him? Do we want signs and proof that he is indeed the Christ? If you are the Christ, end all poverty and homelessness. Stop all violence and war. Feed the world, if you are the Christ. And of course, he would reply and look us in the eye and say, no, no, that's your job. I've already dealt with those temptations in the wilderness. Do we keep him from entering the flimsy craft in which we shelter? I'm afraid we often do. Over and over again, we fail to take the leap from belief to faith. We take our gaze away from him and begin to sink in the chaos around us. For in Christ alone can we understand this great mystery we call faith. And this is the mystery of faith we proclaim. And this is the leap we must take. We proclaim Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Amen.